Tonight, we're going to look at scheduling more from the homeschool perspective and just giving you some tips so that you can make scheduling easy as ABC. And actually, that is my topic tonight. Tonight's topic is scheduling as easy as ABC. So I'm going to give some tips and ideas that will help you with scheduling and pulling this together. I think you'll really enjoy this, and I hope that it'll really take the sting out of planning your schedule for the new year. Now, when we're talking about homeschooling, I want to tell you that there is one thing that was very frustrating for me at the beginning. And, you know, it was scheduling. You know, I wanted so much to be able to balance all the things I was doing. But, you know, bringing in the homeschool into my life meant that I was bringing in a full-time job, a full-time commitment into my family life. And that was in addition to all the things that we already did. And many of you are much like I am. Many of us do so much that beginning to homeschool is like bringing in a whole nother life in addition to what we're doing with all of our other commitments. So tonight I'm going to share some tips that helped me to make my homeschool more consistent, more productive, more organized, less stressed, more predictable, and easy as ABC. So do you want that? Do you want a more peaceful home and homeschool? Do you want an easy pace that won't wear you out? Do you want all that plus an excellent education for your children? Well, let's dig in. First of all, we're going to talk about how to organize our schedule. And one of the biggest tips that I have is to set up a framework to your day. Now, this is one of my personal secrets to scheduling success. This is one of the things that made scheduling within reach for this very irregular, unorganized, inconsistent mother. I have a life, I'm telling you, it goes way beyond just homeschooling. And for me to even bite off the commitment to homeschool, I knew I had to be able to balance it. It had to become part of my day. So one of the secrets to make that happen was setting up a framework to my day. You know, I am not a schedule by the minute person. I remember seeing books through the years where writers talk about scheduling things every 15 minutes and training your children to go by the clock. I'm going to tell you, that never, ever could have worked for me. For those of you that can even do it by the hour, I take my hat off to you. I just cannot do that. And I have heard many things about, well, how on earth will your children ever learn how to have time management skills? Well, guess what? My children manage time very well, and we do a lot of commitments. We accomplish a lot. But you know what? One of the things about time management is not about can you punch a clock. It's can you be effective and can you complete tasks? Can you be dependable? Can you stick to your commitments? Can you come through for other people? And that's part of time management too. So, I'm just going to tell you up front, I fail with schedules that are by the minute or by the hour. I'm talking about even by the half a day, I would fail by that because my life is so unpredictable that I would feel like a constant failure. And for a long time, scheduling was very difficult for me because I thought that was the way you had to do it. Until I found this secret, that I could set up my day with a framework to my day, and that as I went through my day with a general flow to each day, that of the things that needed to be included in the day, that with that, I could actually accomplish much. Now, how do you do that? Well, first of all, I would like to challenge you to decide what should be in your schedule. This is so important. I think this is important for any type of schedule that you're going to establish in your home, but it's very vital if you want to be able to accomplish much. Why do I say that? Well, because I believe every one of us have on our heart some things that really, really are our life purpose, our values, our goals, the things that really would make us feel like a success in life. And if we do not take this into consideration, then I believe that we can go through many, many years of getting a lot done and having a lot on our schedule and yet feel very dissatisfied, feel very discontented. So this is so important to first look at what should be on your schedule. What are the goals? What are the things that will help you reach toward the mark? What are some activities that you really want to be a part of your daily life? What are the priorities of the things that need to be in your life? So what would need to be in your schedule? Well, first of all, look at your husband's schedule. That is the first thing that we used for our family was we looked at our dad's schedule, my husband's schedule, and we wrapped everything in our day around him. When he woke up, when he went to work, when he came home, when he wanted the children in bed, everything was wrapped around pretty much dad. Now, I want to tell you why I did that. For a long time, I battled a lot because, you see, I tried to have a schedule of all the things that were really important to me, the things that needed to be done in the day, and my husband was constantly a distraction and a disruption. When God put on my heart, Cindy, wrap your life around dad, around daddy being at home. Let the kids have time with him when he's at home. Let them learn from him when he is home. When I finally came to that point, I realized, you know what? This is key. We became a family. And by becoming a family, we got so much more done. So the first thing in deciding what should be in your schedule is to look at your husband's schedule and how you can wrap your day around him. Second is decide the must for each day. What is it that is on your heart? This is some homework type assignment where you can look at, okay, what really is important to me as a mom? What is it that needs to be in each day for each day to be a success? Now, I'll just share with you the things that are very important to us. First of all would be quiet times, chore time, school time, family time. Time where everybody is busy doing something for themselves. We call that productive free time. A time when the kids could be busy learning or whatever they would like to do so that mommy could get her work done. As they've gotten older, both of them have been a part of both of our businesses, and that's basically business time now. Now, we do have free time in the evenings. Like right now, my daughter's got she's got free time right now, and she's working on some projects that she's wanting to work on. So, that would be our productive free time. Also, time where they can be a part of ministry, ministering to other people, time where they can work. Of course, that's part of the, like I said earlier, read aloud time. Those are the things that really meant a lot to me. And so decide the must for your family. And then the next thing is look at the best times for those tasks. You know, for us, we knew quiet time. If it was shifted even to the second thing in the day, guess what? We were off. We wanted our quiet times first and foremost so that we could look at life from God's perspective, so we could have the attitudes we needed. We needed quiet times to be first. But then the next thing, I couldn't just go into doing a business. You know, business could take over life. You know, I wasn't going to do that next. No. We weren't going to do that before school. We weren't going to be able to do anything before we got the house straight for the morning. So we began, after quiet time, working through each person doing their chores. Everybody did their immediately moves into doing their chores, getting their things done, getting dressed. And then we have our lesson time. And then we, after lessons, usually in the afternoons, it was just how it happened. We did business and ministry. So that we had we could get everything done before the post office closed and do all of our errands and all of our business work early in the afternoon. And then we would do errands so that we could make sure that we shipped everything or we got any purchases we needed. That's not every day, but that is a reasonable flow. I mean, we're not going to do errands before we do our quiet times. Do you see what I'm saying? And then free time, and then read alouds and family time right before bed and right before bedtime. For us, that's the flow that worked best. And I want to tell you that it took time for me to tweak out, okay, what flows best. Because for a long time, I tried to do lessons right after quiet times just to move straight into lessons. And I found myself constantly feeling like I was distracted. Why? It's because little things were bugging me, like not having the laundry going. There's something about having the laundry going that makes it to where I can really concentrate on math. Do y'all know what I'm saying? If I'm sitting there thinking the piles of clothes are never going to get done, I can't think about fractions at that moment. Now, that's just how I am. Now, you may be totally different than that, but you've got to look at what's the best flow, the best time for the task that you have. And then, of course, while you're looking at the framework of your day, look at how you can balance your day to include all the things that really mean the most to you every day. Now, I'm admitting there are some days where we've had a lot more to do, a lot more like business, for example, and business in the afternoon and maybe even in the evening up until bedtime. And I may have not had free time to just rest and relax. You know, that's that. But if that is the way it is every day, I start getting burnout. I start getting very frustrated. And so we have to make sure that in our family lives that we have the balance to our day that makes us a success. Now, I want to just give you a heads up about homeschooling. This is what this topic is in this homeschool series. When I look back through the years that I did not enjoy homeschooling too much were the years that homeschooling just seemed to take over every day and just last way too many hours. There wasn't enough balance. It felt like all we were doing was school. And you see, whereas I believe if you don't ever get around to school, you don't feel very successful, I believe that too much of it made me feel very frustrated, and because there were things that were just not getting done, like meals, like homemaking, like ministry and business. And each of us have to decide what is it that helps us to have a balanced day. So make sure that you have a good balance to your day. Another thing about that balance of the day is making sure that it includes and it's wrapped around living in your family life. You know, with all the things, it's not just not letting things get out of perspective, but also if things get artificial, I believe it's very, very difficult to where for us to feel like that we're a success. So remember that this is about living. And we're not going to take off 12 to 20 years of our life from living. I believe our children, one of the benefits they get from having a school, being able to homeschool, one of the benefits is they get to see life from God's perspective. They get to get back to God's design for the godly home. So with that, they get to live a life that is learning. They get to develop they get to have an education that lives for life. And that only happens when we stay in balance and when we are living while we are actually homeschooling. So in order to do that, I think we have to really look at our expectations. You can't expect for your home and your schedule to look like a school. You can't expect to get everything done that is this elusive image of what school is. Let me tell you, they don't do all that in school either. So remember to stay balanced and, you know, be sure to balance that day. One of the best ways for me with balancing my day has been to set up routines, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, so I'm not going to talk about it right now. But setting up routines really helped me to where my day had a flow, a definite, you know, we knew exactly what to do during our morning routine to get things done. We knew exactly what to do in our school routine, and it was done. And again, I'm going to come back to this in a few minutes, so I'm really not wanting to go into it deep right now. But by having routines, a morning routine, a school routine, a lunch routine, a dinner routine, a bedtime routine, an afternoon routine, by having all those different routines, it helped me to be able to keep on target and keep moving through the day so that we had a balanced day. But another thing that helped was pruning everything that was unnecessary. Unnecessary activities, in spite of how good they were. Unnecessary to-dos, unnecessary extras. All of those things can get us out of balance. And so those things really helped me to balance my day. So do balance your day. Now, I have a whole topic on this in our scheduling workshop. If you were a part of that, go back and listen to that. But anyway, so set the first thing, of course, being set up a framework to your day, deciding what needs to be a part of your schedule, deciding what the must are for your day, deciding what is the best time, the best flow for those each day, and then making sure that it stays balanced. The next tip for easy making your scheduling easy as ABC is to use to-do list. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a big to-do list person. Why? Because I have seen that this is one of my keys to success. This is, you know, people ask me, well, how do you homeschool? How do you homeschool and write 80 books? How do you homeschool and write 80 books and your children get an education and they like you? Well, this is one of them. I live by to-do list, mainly because I found for a little while and at different times when I've not been strict about taking the time to work on my to-do list, I have always gotten off. I've always failed to do the things that I really wanted to do, or my mind was splintered and fractured and frustrated. So to-do lists are something that I would really love to encourage you to take a peek at, because this will help you so much with homeschooling your children. Napoleon Hill, I think, explains it the best. He says there is one quality that one must possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants, and a burning desire to achieve it. Brian Tracy wrote that a major reason for procrastination and a lack of motivation is vagueness, confusion, and fuzzy-mindedness about what you're trying to do and in what order and for what reason. Beloved, there's nothing that you need to be more clear-minded, more definite in what you're all about than homeschooling. You've got to put your information on paper. One of the biggest things that I do every single year that helps me so much with planning my year, with executing the year, with even looking back on the memories through the years, has been writing my list, keeping records, taking time to do my mommy journal to where I could plan and think out what is it that I want to accomplish for the year. You know, what I found is that on the very bad days, the days that I didn't know what I was going to, why I was homeschooling, what I was going to accomplish with this mess, on those days, there was nothing like being able to open my journal and see, you know what, Cindy, your number one goal here that God gave you in your quiet time was for you to minister to their hearts. It's not about this math book. Close the book and make a memory. Okay, God, thank you. I can't tell you the number of times that I felt like I was failing, that just going back and looking at my list, looking at the plans, looking at the things that God had given me that I put in my journal, that those things helped me so much. So use to-do lists. And I'm talking about for your schedule, definitely use to-do lists. Think on paper. Write it down. Keep to-do journals, a goals journal, and you will be set apart. Did you know that only 3% of adults have clearly written goals? And no, they're not all homeschoolers. But in that 3%, those people accomplish 5 to 10 times more than others with equal education or ability. List works. Writing it down works. So I cannot tell you enough how important it is to keep lists. Now, how do you do it? Well, first of all, you make a list. Now, for me, I keep a journal that I use for everything. I keep my writing in there. I keep my business plans. I keep my goals for homeschooling. I've just moved to that because as the kids have gotten older, and I'm only homeschooling one, and she's in her senior year, it has just been a lot easier for me to have my little journal in my purse. I love that. But you know what else I do? I don't just do my little journal. I also take time where I pull aside and have a mommy retreat time where every year I pull out my reproducible pages, print them out, and I work through hearing God for the year. I may not get that in one weekend or one afternoon, but I keep that with me while I'm making the plans and while I'm hearing God for what is on His heart for teaching Elizabeth during the year. At the beginning of this study on our membership page, let me see. Oh, I don't see it on here, but I'm pretty sure. You were given, and you may want to look it up, and it's on the previous page. That for the study. But anyway, if you'll look it up, there is a mommy planner that is just perfect for homeschooling for the new year. Print that out, or maybe make your own. But make a list, make your notes, write down your plans. Also, be reasonable. You know what? You're going to have to be reasonable about what you're going to actually be able to accomplish in a year. A month, a week, or even a day. One thing that has helped me more than anything has been this past year, having a BlackBerry. I use it with timers, and every day, the night before my day, I will go through and I will make sure I have on the next day everything that needs to be done for the day. And you know what? There is just I have gotten used to what I really can get done during my day. You know what? If you write a list, I love what I found in a business book of all things. It was a business book by Mary Kay with Mary Kay Cosmetics. She had what she called her $35,000 list, and it was called that because of its productivity that it caused for I believe it was Schwab. But anyway, one of the things that she gave as a common denominator, a pillar for her success was operating with her to-do list. With her, Nancy Jane says she's not sure where to find the planner to print. If you will look, scroll to the bottom of the membership page, then go to previous entries. I'm doing it right now. I was afraid to do that, thinking it might mess up my audio. And then scroll all the way down. Here is the shortcut. There you go. There's the shortcut. You can get that later. Okay, anyway, okay. Mary Kay said that one of her greatest things that she had to attribute her success to was her list. Every day she made a list of five, six things that she needed to do the next day. And those were the most important things that needed to be done. If something didn't get done, it could be moved to the next day. However, making a list was the thing that helped her to be able to accomplish. And I want to tell you, unless you know exactly what you're going to be wanting to do for the day, your kids will never know exactly what they're needing to be doing for the day. It's so important that we take the time to make a list, that we take time to write on paper and write out the plans that we have for our lessons for the year. It's so important that we do this because of, for one thing, we need a way to be able to measure our success. But another thing, our children really need to know what's expected of them each and every day. So use list. Use to-do list for your year. Use it for your month. Use it for your week. Use it for your day. But use to-do list. Another thing that I recommend for scheduling is to set up routines. Now, I talked about this a minute ago, but I really want to talk a little bit more. A little bit more. Shannon, it's the gearing up. printable pages that has the mommy planner in it. Okay. Okay. Setting up routines. Routines are so important, in my opinion, for scheduling because it's going to set the tracks that your home runs upon. This is so crucial. If you can look at this similar to what you would see with a train. If you were to see a train that's on the tracks and they can occasionally be, and you see if they're going to go a different direction, maybe a long way around or whatever, a different scene through a different area, you can put them, they can switch to other train tracks and they can still roll. Our routines, we can still roll even if it's beyond what we may have as a normal schedule for the day if we have routines. For example, we may not every day have a day where we get out and have a field trip or a family day where we travel or something. But you know what? By having routines, when we do get off and we have our day that's a little different where maybe we're traveling or maybe we are going to see something, a field trip or something. We have a routine for that and it keeps us from getting off into the mire where our family does not know what to expect, to where things are bogging down, we can't get back on track again. I love routines because they set the tracks in our home that our home is to run upon. They are crucial. You know what? Things are going to go faster. There's going to be less stress. It's going to save your brain for real thinking and real decisions. There's going to be less strife and confusion. Everyone knows what they're going to be expected to do and exactly what they can expect the day to be like. So set up routines and you'll find that scheduling will become easy. But now how? Well, again, let's determine what you want in your day. You know what? This cannot be done by copying a friend's routine or copying a friend's schedule. This is also probably one of the things I think is the biggest hole in a lot of scheduling programs that I see. Many of them seem to think that everybody has the same basic day in life and that everybody wants the same look to their day. I'm personally going to tell you, I don't. I didn't want for my home to look like some of these homes with 15-minute intervals. I can't even imagine. You know, my husband and I were talking about this. After we did our scheduling workshop, we were talking about scheduling, and I said, you know, it kind of hit me afresh that we just can't function with 15 or 30 minutes or hour-long or even half a day slots. It's just not how we're wired at our house. And you've got to know who you are and what it is that you want to do in your day so that you won't copy other people's day. And also so that it will work for you. So what are the routines that you would want in your day? Well, you know what? I have seen some really good information, and although I don't really want everything that's in the routines there, but I love the ones that are at Fly Lady. They give you a lot of ideas. You can see this also in other different websites and different places where they list different routines you may want to have. Look at some of those just to get some ideas of different routines that you may want to work into your home. Probably some of these that I'm about to list are some of the ones that maybe you might have a need for in your home. For us, we have to have morning routines. Morning routines of what we do when we get up. Let me tell you about this. I'll come back to it in just a few minutes when I'm talking about. Let me go ahead and do it right now. For our morning routine, there are some things that I don't even think about doing that I just do because it's a part of my morning routine. For one, when I first get up out of bed, I don't even think about the fact that Harold and I immediately both make up the bed, we pull the covers up, we make up the bed to where when we leave the room, it's nice and straight. We carry down any drink cups, any things, and basically, we clean our room and we don't even think about the fact that we've just cleaned our room. We don't think about it and I don't have it on my schedule. It's just part of my routine, part of my habit. You know what? That same habit has become part of my children's habits because it's what we just do. We don't put it on the schedule. We don't put it down to the minute. It's just part of what we do that's a habit. And you know what? Our brain, I don't even have to think and have a list of things. Hey, did you make up your bed? Did you get your drink cups from your nightstand? Did you straighten your room? I don't even have to ask the kids that. That is part of their habits for getting up. Now, how on earth did we get that? Well, we set up routines when they were younger. Now, it's not an effort. Now, it's part of who they are and what they are to be about. I think this is one reason why, when I was talking with some of my friends about scheduling, I remember thinking, I am the worst person on scheduling I know. I could never do it like everybody else does it. And yet, as we kept talking, I've talked with several of my friends. I said, you do this. You just have it all memorized. It's just a part of who you are and what you're about. Well, you know what? That's what I'm talking about with routines. Once you get down the routines, maybe even beginning, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, so act surprised. But when you find the ones that get you off track in your day, and you work on that routine to get it smooth, to where things are just happening, and things are happening in a flow that is easy for things to get done that need to be done in that specific time of the day, you know what? There's just not the stress anymore. There's not the collapsing of the day. So determine what you want in your day. For us, morning routines were essential. School routines were part of our morning. Lunch routine, our afternoon work routine, our cleaning routine, our errands routine, our dinner, our bedtime routine. Do you see what I'm saying? Look at what you need to be a part of your day. Then you'll need to group it in a logical order. For me, it's going to have to be basically like I just said it. Morning routines, then school routine. Our chores, which are part of our morning routine. Our school routine, our work routine, our lunch routine, our afternoon routine, our errands, our supper routine, our family time routine, and our bedtime routine. Now, is this to say that we can't do anything that's not routine? No, it's not. It's not at all. It is to say that this is the way that we get through our day, and our family knows what to expect. And then that by having this in order and having this together, we can then not have to make all those decisions constantly. Well, what's next? Okay, you just got up. Have you brushed your teeth? And see, mommy's having to be a checklist and have a checklist running in her mind unless this is established. Do you see how much more peaceful it is when they just get up and do it? There's not all the discipline issues. And I want to tell you, if there is a breakdown in routines, there's going to be one of a couple of things going on. Either it's not clear for the children, or it's not a habit yet, or we have some discipline issues that have to be taken care of. Whether they're discipline issues on mommy, which for me was a big problem, or if it's discipline issues of the children, they need it. They will be so much more secure with routines that help them to know what to expect and help them to get things done. So what do you do with it? After you've grouped it in logical order, then you take one at a time. Think through a good plan for that specific routine. What needs to be done? What is the best plan for getting it done? What is the best order? How does it work most smooth, most logical, the easiest? Then make a to-do list for your children. Now, you may want to, what I did for my children, I made a little bitty chart for them of what they needed to do in the morning. And I did that right up until school time. It included their getting up, they're doing their quiet time, and I had a little list for them on how to do their quiet time. And of course, for the first year or so, I helped them work through their quiet time, so they knew exactly what to do next. But anyway, I did the little list of everything that needed to be done for the morning. And you know what? They love being able to check their list off. Excuse me. They loved being able to check their list off and know that they were getting things done. You know what happened? It didn't take very long. Probably about, if I'm remembering right, it was around a month or a little bit less. It was part of every day. Then what? Go to the next area where things are falling apart, where things are getting off course, where the day gets a little more hectic and chaotic, and work on that. Maybe right now, since many of you are not having school lessons, now is the time to get the morning routine down. And you can be planning and working towards when you get ready for your first school day to have your school routine to where you can work on that the first month of school. Maybe you're doing some lessons right now. Well, maybe right now would be a good time to work on your school routine, just so that things are smooth with your day as the kids get started back to school. Also, another thing that you'll want to do is tweak out any problems. I found a few things. When we were first getting our schedules and our routines down as a family, and I want to tell you, we haven't changed my schedule a whole lot from the time the kids were 5 and 8 years old. I'm telling you, when we did our schedule, it served as a tool that pretty much has had our family life a certain way, this certain way for years. It has worked through mommy being sick. It has worked through the kids being little and growing through high school. It has really worked out as a lifestyle for our family through the years. But one of the problems we had way back at the beginning, and by the way, when you're setting a schedule, when you're trying to get a your family's homeschool schedule set up, there are going to be some things that you're going to run across that are not going to work, that are going to be your plans at the beginning. That's why you've got to tweak out the problems. And here are some ideas for a lot of the problems that happen. First of all, you may want to shove things to a different time of the day. One of the things that first caused us some problems was read alouds. I used to have it right after our school time and right around lunch. I had heard about all these families. I mean, I was getting visions of families, and y'all may be the families with perfect this perfect vision, but this is your home. But I would dream of what it would be like for mom to have this wonderful, healthy, homemade bread and beautiful lunch fixed for their children after they've homeschooled all morning, and then over the meal to be able to read aloud a book and everybody be excited and happy and pay attention. My family was chaos. It was chaos for us. You would think you should be happy. You're sitting here with great food and you're getting a great read aloud. It didn't work. I want to tell you there are a couple of reasons why. Number one, their little honeys did not like sitting at the dining table that long. I didn't even think about at that time how they had been sitting for the hour and a half to 2 hours during school, and then their lunch, and they didn't want to sit for another hour listening to mommy read at the table. It just didn't work. That was one thing. It was uncomfortable. But the other thing is, usually around that time, my husband was up, and just seeing his face, he was a clown. They just loved him. They laughed at him so much. So he was very distracting for us, and it just wasn't working. And I was thinking that reading aloud was so wonderful, but it just wasn't working in my home. Until one night, we just didn't get anything done till right before bed. And I stayed up one night reading to the kids and realized that I was reading to them for 2 hours when it was right before bedtime. 2 hours when I couldn't even read to them for 10 minutes at the dining table. Guess what? We shoved read aloud time to the best time of the day, which was bedtime. We never went back. Do you know what that did too, by the way? I just want to tell you, for us, I can't tell you how wonderful I think it is to have something, whether it's read alouds or cuddling, maybe movie night at night, talking, whatever it is, games or whatever it is. I think it's so important to do something with your children that is just a family thing right before bedtime. And the reason for that is I now have a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old that both of them come to see me every single night, and we have family time right before bed. I want to tell you that is accountability to teenagers. Now, my teenagers, I feel real comfortable with their lifestyles and their choices. But there are some of my friends that have caught their children drinking, that have caught their children doing things they shouldn't do. And one of the ways they did it was by having that family time right before bed. I want to tell you, my kids know that it wouldn't get past me. It would not get past me. So I just want for you to know that I think it's important for our children to end the day with mom and dad. And that's how we do that. And that's just one of my things. That's one of my high places. I think it's so, so vital. Anyway, but shove it to the best times of the day. Don't be afraid to be different from anybody else. You know, just because your friends say that they have this certain school day a certain way, and they think that you should too, don't feel like that you have to. And, you know, we talked about this in other sessions in this series, because I thought that this was so important for us to get to know our children and how they learn best. So do remember that you may need to tweak a problem by looking and getting to know your child and learning how they learn best. Maybe you've got on your schedule a certain time of the day for math and it's not working. And you may think, this child is driving me nuts, or maybe this curriculum is not working for me. Maybe it's not your child's time of the day to do math. Try math at a different time of the day. For my daughter, she's the most attentive late at night. There's something about being able at 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, be able to do concentrated work. As I studied her through the years, it makes sense, because you see, she is very distracted by movement and light, and her bedroom, even her bedroom has got the most gorgeous view, but it's extremely distracting to her during the day. She can't see anything at night, so it's much more relaxing and she can concentrate on her work. Get to know your child, and remember that if you've got a problem in your schedule, get to know them and see what would work better for them. Maybe it's a change of atmosphere. Maybe it's a change of time. If you need more help on that, go back and look at the audios from when we were talking about getting to know our children, because those will really help you to get to know your children a lot better. Also, always remember that you need to allow, you may have to allow more or less time on your schedule than what you may have allowed for something. For us, we did not need so many hours spent on schoolwork. We found that an hour and a half to 2 hours a day from the time they were little all the way through high school was enough for table time. Now, why did I say for table time and make sure I stress that? It was because table time is when they were learning and practicing their skills of learning. But I wanted more time where they could do things like I was sharing with you in the practical, the full education seminar. There is more to education than just what they're doing at table time. I want for them to be able to be a part of the businesses. I want for them to be able to have free time to pursue some interests that they're interested in. Both of my children have always been very self-directed in different things that they're interested in. Both. I mean, even my son who has graduated, right now he's been working on a whole seminar series that he is recording for Kids in Business. And he doesn't have to get a grade. He doesn't have to for a business. He makes his money from he makes money from having a business with his father. So what is he doing it for? I think it's just habit. I think it's just the lifestyle that he's grown up in. We've taught them always be learning something, always be teaching something to somebody. And that is exactly what they're doing. But you know what? I found that by having less time for table time, I actually found that they learned a lot more because they had more free time. It doesn't make sense, but things of God just don't. I believe God blesses us when we get back to His design for the godly home. And this is one way that we do that, by making life learning. And by not bringing this artificial stuff that dominates and takes over the day. So for us, this was a way that we tweaked out some problems. Also, always finding efficient ways to do things. You know, there are ways that you will save time, and I'm going to talk some about time savers in a little bit. Always look for ways that you can save time or that you can do things easier. If there's an easier way to do something, by all means, consider that. One thing we found was that we could teach with simple copy work in 15, 20, 30 minutes at the most a day. We could teach more than we could have ever taught using spelling books or grammar books, vocabulary books. And all the different writing lessons and everything that you have with typical textbook curriculum. It just didn't work for us. The efficient old path of copy work worked far superior to all that time that we were spending and all that money on all those different books. And the kids really got it and loved it. Also, tweaking out problems, you may have to add in margin for interruptions and for meltdowns, for discipline. Don't forget that when you're making your schedule and making your plans. But anyway, what I recommend is, as you are determining what you want for your routines and grouping them in logical order, then taking one at a time to establish, and then tweaking the problems along the way, then write it down and work on routines just like you would a habit. Why? Because routines are going to save you. They're going to save your brain. They're going to save your stress. They are going to help your life to run more smoothly. They're going to help you to be able to make scheduling so much easier. Another thing, not just routines, you also need systems. Now, routines take the guesswork out of the flow of the day, but systems take the brain work out of each and every task. Now, systems are for the task, where routines are for the flow of the day. There are set ways to do things, and if you can find the more routine systems that you set up, the more systems that you set up to do the things you need done in your day, whether it's each chore. For example, with my children, when I finally had a systematic way that we were going to clean the kitchen, do you know what? It just made it easy. They knew exactly what to expect with each and everything. They knew all the cleaning things that they needed. They had all of it right there at their fingertips. You see, a system is a set way that we do things. It's a set way that we perform our common task. So how do you do that? Well, I want to tell you, there's some great ways. Like if you're wanting to clean, look at Don Aslett. He has got the best books with ideas and systems for cleaning, and even how to make your own cleaning supplies. You can do this on everything. We even have developed systems for our writing. For our notebooking is a system, if you'll just look at it that way. Notebooking is a system. Lap booking for us is a system. We have a set way that we do that. Now, how do you set up a system? You can do systems of your own for the tasks that you have in your home. How do you do that? Well, you're going to have to think out, write out, and write down a checklist of everything that needs to be done for that specific task. Same thing that you did with your routines. Go back and tweak it. Find the areas that it needs to be that need to be tweaked. Then get it down easy and excellent. You know what? The thing that'll happen when you develop systems, whether it be for doing the schoolwork or cleaning, or whether it be for business, whatever it is that you use systems for, you won't miss important steps. If you get interrupted in the middle of doing something, you can easily pick back up because you know what's next. Your brain will be able to rest. It doesn't have to figure out everything again. There is something about knowing how to do things that I seriously believe will really, having your systems will really help you to not have to figure things out again, and you can do things more on autopilot. It's going to save you time, it's going to keep you on task, on schedule, and it's going to make your schedule work. You're going to know, you know how soon that you have to plan for certain tasks to be done. You know exactly how long or about how long things are going to take. You can work most effectively. And best of all, you can delegate to your children any of the things that you have on a system. For us, we do this, I mean, down to even my husband's business. He was asked the other day, why should I buy your product? Why should I buy yours when there are so many other products that are out there? You know, that was a very good question. And you might say, well, wow, how did he answer that? Well, I knew how he was going to answer it. I knew before he told me what he was going to say. Because the perk for Playmasters Playgrounds is that everything is a system. Everything. He has a systematic way that every single thing's done to where, you know what? He would not even have to necessarily go and see. He has to go and see the place where things are going to be put because there are different things like the length of post or whatever that he would need. But I'll tell you what, he could very easily give a price projection pretty much off his head just by hearing what it is that they want. How many decks, how many slides, blah, 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 blah. He can do that because off of his head, he knows what it takes to in his system. Do you know what? His system also, one of the things about his system that is such a perk is that someone that maybe bought a playground 3 years ago that maybe is ready for another phase. Maybe they say, this playground, we really need a bigger playground. We've got more kids in the school or more kids in the church, whatever it is. We want more. Do you know what? Because everything is set, everything is done the same systematic way, all they have to do is go in and add on. Everything will still work. Everything will still match. Everything fits together and works together just perfect. Now, I say that about his playgrounds, but you know something? That's how things can work with your homeschool, too. If you will get your systems down, then when you want to add something or you want to maybe have an extra study on a certain topic because you're about to take a trip, do you know what? When you've got your system down, you'll be able to use that system in place. I have my friend Catherine Hyme was talking about taking her trip. She took all of her different age children on a trip where they basically did the Lewis and Clark expedition. Of course they didn't do it. They went in their minivan, but but what they did, they went back through the expedition and just the different places and saw different places where history took place. But do you know what she did? It was very natural, very easy. Every one of her kids had a notebook, and they basically notebooked the whole trip, everything that they learned. Do you know what? How much information they took from that? They did all of the basics of notebooking the whole way, from taking pictures to collecting mementos to drawing to writing. Because you see, that system could go anywhere. Do you see what I'm saying? Even with a different day, it works. So develop systems. I'm talking about for every area of life, from homeschooling to your chores, to your house cleaning, to your meals, to your business. Develop systems, and you know what? You're going to take a lot of the stress out of your scheduling. It will become easy. Another thing is focus. Focus. You know, I think that this is probably one of the toughest things for homeschool moms. They feel many times, and many of you may feel the same way, many homeschool moms feel as though there's so much to do, it's hard to just focus in on one thing. It's hard to focus long enough to get things done. Well, this is so vital. It is vital that we focus. I found this passage a while back, and it's been one of my life passages. As a matter of fact, I pray this over my children regularly. And it comes from 1 Chronicles 29:19. 1 Chronicles 29:19. And this comes from the Message Bible. It says, "And give my son Solomon an uncluttered and focused heart so that he can obey what you command, live by your directions and counsel, and carry through with the building of the temple for which I have provided." That is my prayer for my children. And this is a prayer that I pray for our life, is that our life will be uncluttered and focused so that we will be able to impart to our children exactly what God wants. And in your scheduling, I really want to challenge you to stay focused. Don't let things get cluttered. Always remember who you are and what God has called you to do here with homeschooling your children. You know, there are a lot of opportunities for things that can be stuffed in your day. Trust me, I know. But we've got to constantly guard our schedules and stay focused about what we're really supposed to be doing here. You know, for me, whenever I get so busy, my schedule gets too cluttered, and it does, and that I can't teach my children who I am. Maybe I don't even like who I am right at that time because I'm just feeling real grumpy and I'm feeling real flustered and I'm not really enjoying what I'm doing. You know, when it gets like that, I'm usually not doing what I need to be doing. I'm usually doing a lot of things that are distracting me and keeping me from being able to do the things that really mean the most to me, like teaching my children who I am, what's on my heart, sharing with them God's call for their lives. So how do we deal with this? Well, you're going to have to know how the enemy distracts you. For each of us, we have our different things that he does to distract us. Maybe yours is stuff. Mine many times can be stuff or responsibilities or problems. Problems get me so easy, and the enemy knows that. Guess what he'll do? He will try to keep us dealing with problems all the time if that will get us. But if we get a good attitude, we resist the enemy, guess what? He has to flee. So know how the enemy's distracting you. Maybe it's family problems, maybe it's stress, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's just the different things that he comes at you with. You know what? If he is distracting you consistently this way, he feels like he can fluster you. You need to know what your enemy is up to. And get the second thing is get rid of the distractions. You need to know who you are, what you're called to do, and what you and only you can do, and you need to stay focused, sticking to the main thing, letting everything else go. You know, for me, I just don't do well. If I have too much going and going and going for too long, I get very irritable, I get very stressed, and you know what? That gets my focus. The enemy knows that. So you know what? I have to make sure that I'm constantly pruning my schedule and I'm letting those good little opportunities that are just good opportunities go so I can choose the very best. So I can stick to the main thing and keep my focus of building my legacy and pouring into my children. You know what? They're little for only a little while. I know this way too much, way too well. Like I said, tomorrow is Matthew's birthday, and there's just something about that that makes me see how quick life passes by. You know, it seems like just yesterday I knew that I was going to be delivering my baby any second. And you know what? Now he's 20 years old. You know what? Nothing else matters. We need to keep our focus so that we can be able to get more done, but we can choose the best and let go of the rest of the things. Another thing for our schedule to keep it easy is to guard against time thieves. You know, we all have things that steal our time from us. For me, through the years, I've had about five that have gotten me through the years. Busyness, just getting too busy. Being messy and disorganized. You know, always having to hunt for things, shuffling things, having my piles, running in circles, hunting different things that I need. Going, going, going. For those of you who heard my workshop on foxes in the garden during the scheduling seminar, you know what I'm saying here with going. From Matthew's first words, his first sentence was go, go, go. Mommy, go, go, go. Because it seemed like all we did throughout all of life, when we get out of focus, is go, go, go. And you know what? There's no time left for what's really on my heart when I'm going, going, going too much. Also, there are time wasters that just pop me every time. I have to really guard against too much TV, too much telephone, telephone, telephone. The telephone used to get me really, I mean, it seemed like every time I sat down to homeschool, I was battling with the telephone. But those things were time wasters that stole away my schedule and they stole my time and my schedule, and they also stole away the time that I needed with my children. And then also doing all the wrong things. You know, when God wanted for me to live a life of purpose, those are the things that always stole my time. They were my time thieves. We have to be on guard and not let those time thieves fool us. You know, they look like things that are good, that offer us good opportunities for our children and our family. We always hear, well, goodness, how will they be socialized? How will they have opportunities out there? And yet, you know, those things kept me frustrated so much that they were stealing away the joy of living. We have got to know the time thieves that sneak into our day and consciously guard against them, keeping them out. They are our enemies. And speaking of time, that brings me to the next tip that will help make scheduling as easy as ABC, and that is constantly find time savers. Now, I want to tell you, this is so important. For me, I want to make the most of the time that I do spend. I don't want to do things that just take a long time. My husband and I were talking about this. He, bless his heart, he's got one employee that is just slow. I mean, it just drives Harold nuts. Now, I say he's just slow, but he also enjoys more life so much more than any of the rest of us. I do want to say that, but oh, he's slow. And you have to know how Harold and I, that's one thing we just are kindred on, is productivity. I mean, you've got to know, our kids, one of the reasons they have always been very productive in their lessons is because Harold and I, that's just how we are. And, you know, you will probably not see us dying from not getting a lot and not getting a lot done. I believe that you will find that if there's one thing that is a strength and a weakness all in one thing, it's how much we get done. But one of the ways that we do that is by looking at things that help us to save time. Now, what are some things I'm talking about? Well, first of all, I want to tell you that this needs to be something that maybe you can work on, keeping a lookout for things that save you time and keeping a list of them so you can review it and you can you can remember to use these ideas. You want some ideas that we have found? Well, one is getting organized. Getting organized. You would not believe how much organization can make a difference in how much time you save. It's really big time savers for us. For one, when we get rid of clutter, which is a biggie that keeps us from being organized, clutter wastes so much time and energy. And so when we get rid of clutter, we save time and we save our energy that we would be using and expending running around having to deal with the clutter. Also, I talked about to-do list. Do you know how much time you save just by doing a to-do list? It may seem like, well, you know, Cindy, I've done to-do lists before, but when I've done my to-do list, I've made my list and took the time making the list and I didn't use them. Well, the key is use them. You need to get a system together to where you can use to-do lists. For me, one of the ways I use my to-do list is I make, as I've shared with you guys in the Organization 911 series, I make a journal at the beginning of every year. In fact, I just the other day went back through my journal to see how I was doing for the year this year. It was so neat to be able to see how much had already been accomplished, but also to see some goals that I have just around the corner. It's going to be so much fun, and I want to finish big this year. I don't want to get started big and then fizzle out as the year goes by. That was something I used to do before I did to-do lists and to-do journals and goals journals. But anyway, what I do is every year, and I'm going to tell you, if you don't have one, today is a good day to begin your own to-do list or your own to-do journal, goals journal, whatever you want to call it. But one of my friends calls it her brain, but mine could very well be called my brain because it keeps all my list. But anyway, what I do is every year, or every, you know, last year about this time of the year, I had to redo mine because I had done all of my things that were in there. I had accomplished it. So anyway, any time is fine. Today is just a wonderful day to start this. You would not believe how much different the rest of this year could be if you would just do this one thing. But anyway, with my to-do list, I make my list, and what I do is I do a big brain dump of all the things I want to do, all the things that I need to do, all the things that I'm dreaming of one day doing. I put a list of things that I want. And why do I do that? Because you know what? usually in my to-do list, I want to have rewards for getting there. And so the things I want are my rewards when I get certain things done, when I meet certain obligations. I've got some things right now that I have been working toward. I have one of the things that's been on my want list lately, and I should have. It's obvious that I've procrastinated on doing this one, but one of the things I have wanted was to get an elliptical for exercising. And one of the things I've said was that at a certain point, when I had my house, a certain place of being organized again, then I will get my elliptical. So I know, you know what, on those days when I don't feel like cleaning out and I don't feel like reorganizing, and I don't feel like one more bit of dust, it is inspiration for me to get up and get going so that I can treat myself to that whenever I get done. Find something that you want to be able to treat yourself to. Maybe it's a pretty little quiet time nook. You know what? Put that in your wish list, and whenever you get your house straightened up, or maybe you may even want to clean out and reorganize and reset up your house to where you can have your little quiet time nook. That may be the whole goal. But whatever it is, have your treat, your reward at the end of your obligations and your things you're working and trying to accomplish. Look for things that help to motivate you. Last year, I was sharing with you guys, those of you that were a part of the Organized Mom class, Organization 911 class that we did at the first of this year. I was sharing with you how that last year, one of the things I wanted that I had on my wish list was my iPod last year. And my iPod was actually a treat for, we were trying to get the last bit of debt off of, paid off. And the iPod was my treat for keeping on working. It was such a huge blessing. And it ended up being still, it's one of my favorite gadgets ever. Do you see what a difference that makes? It was the thing that was my reward that I could look forward. It was a reward to be out of debt. But you know what? There was more than that. It was a reward for me to be able to keep working and to press on, because I was going to actually treat myself. I can't tell you the number of times I used to treat myself with money I didn't have. And that was a huge treat. Now it's a lot of fun to be able to do other things. But you know what? If you will make that list and make that list with rewards, and then another thing, not just making the list, I want to encourage you to carry it with you and to work that list. At least every month, pull your list out and say, okay, what is going to be my big project this month? How many of you are working on a project this month? Joey, nope. Having been to vacuum your rug is not a good enough reward. You may want to add something else too. But what is it that is your big thing that you're going to work on this month? Have you been working on something? We are 9 days into a new month. Set yourself a goal of every month doing a big project. And then take your month and then say, okay, these are the things, make a list of things that need to be done to get that task done. It may take 2 months on some things. Like when I'm writing a book, it may take me a couple of months. But what I do is I say, the next big project is this. And then I make a list of all the tasks that have to be done to get that project done. And then I divide them out. Maybe it's over a week, like doing one thing. With one of the things I do a lot of times is work on big tasks when the guys are shooting, or maybe we're out of town on business or whatever. And if I get like a block of time in the evening that's extra time that I don't normally have, usually I will plug in some of those to-do things that I'm going to get done that need to be done into that block of time that I have at the end of the week that's kind of undecided, that's extra. Or say I get a lot of things done, say tomorrow, that I get my list of things done by noon, then I might have a block of time between 1 and 5 o'clock. Now, tomorrow I won't, but anyway, say it's a normal day. I might have that block of time between noon and 5 open. Do you know what? That's a great time to put that task in there that I can work on. And you know what? What'll happen? You won't procrastinate nearly as bad. You'll get things done. Do you see how that saves time? For me, what happens with my time is I don't squander it so badly. Because you see, if I don't have something set to do, usually I lose that time. I might get to checking email, or I might get to checking and doing some work on something that just or that may not even matter. I mean, even a lot of times I'll go in the kitchen and I won't have any purpose, and I can spend 3 or 4 hours in the kitchen and not even have anything accomplished, but maybe the meal. But you know what? I could do the same meal in 15, 20 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? So it helps so much to use to-do lists. Also, eliminating time wasters. Finding a way to get rid of time wasters, whether it's TV, going, internet surfing, phone, shuffling clutter, poor planning, procrastination, unnecessary interruption. Find the ways to get rid of the things that waste your time, whether it be by multitasking, or maybe it's by taking some time to declutter, or maybe it's being so strict as to say no TV during certain times of the day. I don't turn on the computer but certain times of the day. Whatever it is. But get organized. Another thing that helps me with time and that saves time for me is having great tools. You know, I was mentioning that I can cook a decent meal and just really a lot of time or a little time. Just depends on what I have. You know why? It's because I do different things that help me out. I use my microwave. I have some friends that are absolutely flabbergasted. They are offended that I use my microwave. They tell me all the time how unhealthy that is. But do you know something? It is unhealthy for Cindy to be stressed. Do you know that stress is one of the leading causes of heart disease and most other chronic illnesses? Do you know that it flares lupus? It flares up autoimmune diseases. You know, it's not good for me to be stressed. Guess what? Some microwave meals are okay here and there. I'll tell you another tool that's one of my favorites is Crock-Pot meals. I use my Crock-Pot like crazy because I can put my meal in there in the morning and I have a wonderful meal that is healthy, that doesn't concern all my health nut friends, that I can have with just minimal effort. In 10, 15 minutes, throwing everything in and putting the little knob on, at the end of the day, we have got a fantastic meal. You know, that is just priceless for me. I love that paper plate. Amen. Amen, Michelle. You know, one of the things that was one of the best investments for my time and for health of my family was when I bought my Bosch mixer and my grain mill. Those saved me so much time. They still save so much time. Now, I don't even know what we're down to. Portions of a penny were the cost and how much it cost me when we count all the years and all the servings and all the meals that we've been able to eat with that one mixer. And it's just made things so much easier for me, from making things whip up in just a few minutes to being able to prepare meals that are a lot healthier than I could by hand. Other things that were great tools for me are things like my computers. My laptops have saved me so much. I have taken laptops to the parks when the kids were little. The other day I rode with my husband. He had a call where he was going to do a presentation for his business, and I took my laptop and sat in the truck working the whole way there and the whole way back with my laptop hooked up to my BlackBerry. I love those tools. They make me productive regardless of where I'm at. Again, my BlackBerry, I know how expensive smartphones can be. In fact, I did, by the way, for those of you who are my fellow friends who love Techie Talk, I love tech stuff. And yes, The very day that they introduced the iPhone, we were out of town. But guess what? We were in Atlanta, Georgia, and my sweet darling romanced me to the nth degree husband, took me by the mall to the Mac store so I could just touch the iPhone. Yes, I touched it. Yes, I drooled over it. And yes, I walked out. When they get it to where it'll hook my Mac up online while I'm riding down the road, then we'll talk. But you know what? That may sound like an extravagance. For many people, that is an extreme extravagance. But for me, like my BlackBerry, whenever I got my BlackBerry, it has helped me so much with being productive. Like I said, I go all the time riding between here and Huntsville, where I would normally have downtime and not be able to work, where I can have my BlackBerry tethered into my laptop and I can be online. Binders may seem like part of it's a school supply, Cindy, but you know something? Binders are a tool that to me has helped me so much with time. I have everything. You wouldn't believe the numbers of binders. I'm gonna have to one day count and see how many binders I actually have for my business. Right now it's not possible because I do have some in storage, believe it or not, but I probably have 30 upstairs in my office right now. Why? Because they help me keep everything organized in topics. I do a lot of teaching. I do a lot of writing. Every book that I have ever had, by the way, well, I didn't even count those, but every book that I have began as a notebook with all of their information in that I had for writing my books in a notebook. So binders are so priceless for me. But invest in great tools. Whatever it is that will make your homeschool and your homemaking and your business easier, invest in those. Also, find easy homemaking ideas. For me, this is so priceless. You would not believe how much time it saves me in the big scheme of things. I remember when the kids were little, one of the things we did every single day, at least twice a day, once for lunch and once when Dad would come in from work. Well, I say that twice, three times. When Dad would come in from work and then right before bed, we did what we called clutter drills. And I would set the timer for 5 minutes. And the kids knew 5 minutes is not very long on the timer. But I'd say, let's see how much you can clean in 5 minutes. Usually my entire house would be cleaned within that 5 minutes. If they just got moving and moved fast, that helped me. Do you know how much time it used to be before we found the idea for clutter drills? Matthew would spend an hour and a half to 2 hours, and he would end up, I would find him in the middle of his room at the end of that time with a big mess, sometimes bigger than when he got started, because he would be sitting there saying, oh, Mom, I can't put that up because I'm going to play with it in a few minutes, and I can't put that up because I'm going to play with that in a few minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? Clutter drills didn't give them time to think. They were actually competitive to see how much they could get put up. That helped me so much. I remember reading with Fly Ladies, Fling Boogies. Do you know how much clutter I can get rid of just walking through a room with a big plastic garbage bag and just throwing away? Just throwing away. A while back, we spent a whole, it was about 4 hours in the afternoon where I worked with my kids, and all we did was fling boogie in my office. Do you know, it immediately was so much cleaner. Now, my kids may have thrown away things I didn't want them throwing away, haha, but their room is next. Just kidding. But another thing that has helped me so much was having learning and work centers in my home. That helped me because that is the only way for me to be able to have a home business and homeschool and live in our home. So anyway, those were homemaking ideas that really helped me out. Another thing with time that helped me out was easy meals, planning easy meals, just planning for meals ahead of time that were easy meals. For me, there were some basics that we loved, but having a list, taking the time to make a list of all the breakfast options that we pretty much always had in our pantry, along with shopping lists to make sure we had that stuff in our pantry. That time seemed at first like it was a lot of extra work, but do you know that when I look back, the time I have saved through the years now, as well as the fact that I'm still using the same list after all those years. We add to it here and there, but that having that plan for the breakfast or for lunches or for snacks or for dinners, and having a basic, having those things in the pantry, as just a staple, to where we don't have to go running out hunting for food, or we don't have to run to the grocery store and get a lot of extra stuff. And also to where we don't, if we have a day where we have a lot that's been having to be done and we didn't have a lot of time in the kitchen, to where I can have easy meals, that is something that really saves me time and money. So constantly look for time savers, because what'll happen is they're going to make things easy for you. They're going to make scheduling a whole lot easier, because the biggest thing that hinders our schedule is time, things that zap our time. So if we can find things that save our time, it helps so much. Another thing, and this is another big tip, especially for those for this workshop, because we're talking about homeschooling, it is so important to tweak your homeschool for maximum effectiveness. You know, I love homeschooling, and I love everything about homeschooling, except how it can zap your schedule in just minutes. Because I don't know how many of you know what I'm saying here, but there's times where you have a new concept that's being taught, or you have something that maybe seizes the children's interest, and it just takes more time. And then there's other things that just don't make sense that seem to zap our time about homeschooling. So how do you maximize your home and tweak your home so it can be the most effective, to where it scheduling can be easy? Well, first of all, set your home up to learn. When you set up your home to learn, things are going to go smoother. The first thing that I would recommend is making sure that you have a good nook, a place where your children can learn best. Now, I'll tell you what was really wild for us last year was when we actually were able to remodel our family living and kitchen and area, dining and all that, our family room. It had forever been a family room and a homeschool room for years. I didn't even get to have out all my teacups and my china and all that in the family room, because we had school books and notebooks and school supplies. So it was really a very big transition for me whenever I could actually have my house back. But you know something? For Matthew, it was essential that we have that dedicated to his education. For Elizabeth, it was not. For her, it was more important to make her bedroom more comfortable, because that's where she likes to work. She likes the quietness of being able to get in her room and just have time uninterrupted by anybody to be able to learn. So look at where your children can learn best and set a good nook up. Set it up so they can have their school lessons with maybe their table, their desk, their work area, with chairs, maybe making sure that there's limited distractions, bookshelves where they can store their things that they're learning, space for their computers and printers, a convenient paper supply, space for you to be in case, so that you can work alongside of them. But make sure that they have it set up to where they can have their lessons right there, and to where everything will be there. Then get your supplies together, and of course that would go there too. Your supplies, you probably already have them, but you know, to me, every year before it's time for school, we always have to go through and make sure that we round up all the different supplies, making sure that, you know, because they have a way of growing and going all around the house, because we do a lot of projects with our supplies. But making sure that we get all the supplies together and put them where they go. Just the other day, I did a huge back-to-school run where we made our big list of everything we usually use, and I went to Sam's. I go there because I can buy everything in bulk, from pens and pencils to paper and binders and sheet protectors and glue stick and everything. I just went for my big run, and we bought everything in bulk so that we would have it, and we put it actually in the shelf in my office, because that works best for Elizabeth now that she's older. But anyway, get those supplies together and make them accessible for the children. Another thing that you can do for helping your home set up your home to learn is to set up a home library. You know, if you haven't done this, set up your home library. And may I ask you, if you haven't done this, set up an area where your children can have access to shelves and their books themselves. You know, what I did when we were first setting up our home library for my children, I went out and I didn't have a whole lot of books. And as a matter of fact, I had a set of Disney fairy tale books, storybooks that my mother had given me because I so loved them growing up. And she also gave me another set of classical books. It wasn't a very big set, maybe I think 12 volumes. And then she gave me another set of the Laura Ingalls Wilder books that we just loved as little girls. But anyway, that was all the books I had when I started homeschooling. Now you would never know it. But you know what I found? I found a whole bunch of great books for like a nickel, a dime, sometimes a quarter, sometimes 50 cents at our local library. I bought those and they ended up being such sweet, sweet books, such sweet memories that we've made through the years because I let them, I set them up in the children's room so that they could have access and they were allowed to have one book that if they were going to read and pull it off the shelf, they had to put it back if they were going to get another one, like they had to check things in and check things out. But they love that. They love being able to have access to the library. Another thing that we did to encourage them to learn was having a book basket for books that we checked out from the library. We carried them to the library in that, and again, if they read something, they could take one out that they could have brought by their bed or that they could carry downstairs to cuddle on the couch with, but they had to check it back in before they got another one out, and that way we didn't lose things. But, you know, having that book basket helps so much. There are a lot of things you can do like that, from setting other little learning areas up, having a spot for art, a spot for music, all their things for physical education, from balls and trampolines and different things to play, all in one spot. If you can have a spot for those things, you'll be able to keep up with what they're needing to have to do those certain activities and to learn with those specific things. But you can also encourage them by them just walking by that. I know my kids, for years, just because they would walk by all the different supplies and things, they wanted to dig into it. It distracted them enough to do it, and they didn't even know that was learning. But the other thing to do is to for your home is to next decide what you need to do each day. If you want for your home to be tweaked for maximum effectiveness, you need to decide what needs to be done for each and every day, what the day should look like, and how you can set up your day or your week to get all of the lessons done or all the things done that you want to get done in a year. This is the perfect time to do that. This is the time that is best to look at your schedule, look at your year, and to determine what needs to be done to be able to get all the lessons done. Another thing for maximum effectiveness may seem like it won't work, but it does, is to keep everything simple. Keep it simple and easy. If you keep it simple, simplified, your children will know what to do and they can be able to do it with or without you. There's going to be days where you're not going to feel good. There's going to be days where you have other things that need to be done. If you will keep it simple, your children will learn how to educate themselves. They'll be able to pick up the torch and to be able to run with the lessons. Another thing for maximum effectiveness, especially since we're talking about scheduling tonight, is to use short lessons. When I'm saying short lessons, oh, this is so important because you're going to have less dawdling. They're going to know what to expect, and it's going to help them and you to do what needs to be done each day. When you shorten lessons, they're going to have better attention. They're going to develop good habits for learning. They're going to have more time for real learning. They're going to have more time for sweet memories. and they're going to have more time for wide, varied, and excellent education, because you'll have time and space in your day for them to be able to learn how to have their own business, for them to be able to study those topics that they want to dig into and they want to learn that they need more time. Plus, you're going to have more time to play, to pursue interests and delights. You're going to have more time for free time, so you can live as a family, for hobbies, for businesses and apprenticeships, for ministry and missions, for volunteer work, for service, for extra learning, for practical skills that they need to develop, for practical studies, plus for spiritual studies. So keep balanced and focused and keep it simple. Use those short lessons. Find the ways that can maximize your homeschool for maximum effectiveness. Another thing for scheduling to make it easy for this year is to remember to always stay balanced. You know, many times what we need more than anything is just to slow down and to not feel like we need to just do everything. You know, our culture is so characterized by busyness and a fast pace. And I hate to say this, but many homeschools are just as busy and fast paced. Only we're trying to add in homeschooling too. And then we wonder why scheduling is totally frustrating, totally undoable, totally chaotic. So how do you slow down? I believe that we need to take some time aside to really decide what is most important, why we're doing what we're doing, what we really feel like God has called us to do. We need to then examine our lifestyle and see, are we actually doing the things that really mean the most to us? Are we losing the opportunity to do those things? And if we are, we need to examine our motives. Why do we do what we do? Is it to please people? Is it out of guilt? Is it out of insecurity? Is it that we're afraid that we're not going to give our children the education that they so need and that we want for them to have? Well, we need to slow down, because you know something? All the going in the world does not equal to a great education for our children. All the opportunities in the world does not equal to a great education. So slow down. Also, make sure to balance your day. You know, I talked about this earlier with setting up a framework of the day, but the way to stay balanced in your day is to make sure that nothing gets out of proportion. Not your school, not your chores, not your homemaking, not your cleaning, not your business, not any of the areas. Make sure that things stay in balance. If there's something that keeps on getting out of balance, look at that area and say, okay, what do I have to do to simplify this? Or maybe do I just need to prune this for this season? If there's something that is interfering with every single thing that you've got going on, it may need to go. If your heart is for your children to be homeschooled and your homemaking keeps on hindering you from being able to homeschool, you need to find a way to let some of that stuff go. You know, you will not get these homeschool years back, but I can promise you, you'll always have dirty floors to clean, you'll always have dishes to wash, you'll always have laundry to do. It's just inevitable. That's why we need to make sure it stays simple. But also with balance, one of the things I have to constantly do is accept my limitations. And how many of you relate? You know, you cannot do everything. And there are some warning signs that say, I'm doing too much. I'm exceeding my limitations. From pain to fatigue to stress to irritability to frustration. I want to even go so far as to say, if you don't take care of yourself with those warning signs, you're going to find yourself depressed and in despair. So you need to watch out for those warning signs. They mean that you're exceeding your limits and you're not balanced. And guess what? Guess who has a choice to change that? We do. We need to change that. Joy says, does that Superwoman cape have to stay in the closet? Yeah, you may want to put it in the garage sale. Or, you know, when you're doing those fling boogies? Fling boogie the Superwoman cape. Exactly. Accept your limitations and fling Boogie the Superwoman cape. But also prune out the extras that keep getting you out of balance. And make time to refuel and refocus so that you will be able to have that time to de-stress and relax, to recreate, to refill. Don't consider time pulled back, planning and resting to be an extra or an option. Know that it's essential and that you've got to make time to refuel so you can watch your life and stay balanced so that scheduling can truly be easy. And then finally, my word that my friend Catherine made up that I love is flexa adaptability. This is the bottom line. When we are scheduled, when we have got a schedule that is in place, when we know what our general flow to our day is, when we've got our life in order, when you've got those routines, I'm talking about looking further down the line. If you want to make sure that you keep scheduling easy, there's one thing you must have, and that's flexa adaptability. Now, what is that? Well, it's being flexible and staying adaptable. You've got to stay flexible. You've got to stay adaptable. Yes, we get our plans together and we work on these suggestions, but then one of the most important things we'll ever do is to remember to stay flexible and stay adaptable. In other words, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit, hearing God for what needs to be done, seizing the opportunities that come along our path, the precious opportunities to teach our children along the way. You know, every year, I mean every week even, I look and the things that are really taught that I think are the most important typically never have been in the planning books. They've never been in my plans. Regardless of how much I have wanted for my children to learn, the things that I really look at the end of the week and say, ooh, that was good, they were never on the plans. They were never in the plans. You know, I don't know why. I could never think of something that vast and that wonderful, but I never have thought about that the plan being that vast and wonderful. Why? Because the teachable moments just could not be planned. Those are still by far and by large, those are the greatest plans that we've had throughout the greatest things that have been accomplished throughout the years. You know what? We've got to stay flexible and adaptable if we're going to be able to seize that time. If we're going to be able to slow down long enough to be able to enjoy just a few minutes of making a memory with our children. If we're going to have time to be able to walk with our children into their adult years. So don't miss the teachable moments. Don't miss the memories. Stay flexible and adaptable. In fact, you know, that's why I love talking about scheduling. Is because I know that when we do the hard work of getting our schedule together, laying the habits for routines, when we get the framework to our day to where it's just doing and happening, then you know what? What that really does is it allows us to be able to seize the time along the way that to do the things that really mean the most, the things that can't go on a schedule. So be sure to stay flexible and adaptable. Have that flexa adaptability. Well, what do you think tonight? If you'll just give these tips a try, I really do believe that you will find keys to consistency, to productivity, to organization, to less stress. I really believe that you'll find your homeschool being a lot more peaceful. I think that you will really find your school year this year one that has a easier pace where you can really seize for that excellent education that you so want to give your children. And in the meanwhile, you'll make sweet memories all along the way. So just try these tips. Maybe just try one and see if it doesn't help you to make your schedules easy as ABC.